All right, everyone. Welcome to a special episode of the Sloppy Spoilers. With me today, I have the random dude, Josh. What's up, buddy?
Not much. How you doing, friend?
I am almost fantastic. Still sick, guys, so my voice still sounds funny, but not as bad as it was, so we're making progress here. But today, me and Josh are just going to dive into just kind of a general, our favorite comic book movies. So, nothing too, specific here, just comic movies in general. So I think we're going to have a good time. First, we're going to do the first half with live action movies, and then we are going to jump into some animated, because we know the animated has some greats as well.
Yes, they do.
So here, let's start with this. What is your all-time? Let's do a top five. Not necessarily the best, but maybe just your favorite top five, Josh. And let's start. Yeah, just we'll go in any order. No, okay. Not necessarily ascending or whatever.
So I would definitely have to say Superman 2 with Christopher Reeve. That's just a classic Superman video. That's where we get the saying Neil before Zod.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you weren't expecting that one, were you?
I was not expecting that to be the first one to come out your mouth. Not at all.
Saving the best for last. I would have to say X-Men. From back in 2000.
Wow.
Reason being, it's the first time we get to see Wolverine in a live action format.
Okay.
His claws like come out of his fist for the first time, where it like focuses in on his middle knuckle and you see it breaking the skin.
It was so tight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then Deadpool. You cannot ignore Deadpool.
No, I love Deadpool. I'm not like 13 and some of the other guys and Bud who just despise him.
That movie was just it honestly changed comic book movies in the live action spectrum.
I appreciate Deadpool so much because it broke the wall of not Deadpool's fourth wall, but it broke the wall of this has to be for children.
If it wasn't for Deadpool, we would not have had Logan.
No. So, and Logan was phenomenal. So yeah, anything groundbreaking, I'm definitely okay with. Not to mention, it's just a hilarious movie. And there's no reason why we shouldn't have rated our comic book movies. I mean, they make billions of dollars, and Deadpool made like hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, so Deadpool made a shit ton of money.
Yeah. It was one of the highest grossing R movies, if I remember right.
Yeah.
It definitely proved that you can still make these movies, and it was on a budget, like a small budget. It was like $50 million or something like that, and they cut like $15 million out the budget like the day before production. So, I mean, those guys put together a hell of a movie for such a small price tag, in the comic book world.
Oh, absolutely. We could honestly have a whole show on Deadpool alone.
I think we have.
The next one. Okay. So I'm torn on the next one.
Okay.
And it's between, 1989 Batman with Michael Keaton.
Okay.
And Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. I put those at the same for this reason, because you'll understand with my final pick why. But with those two, both were very momentous movies. You know, with the 89 Batman, that broke the barrier, pulling us away from the campiness of Batman 66, which, don't get me wrong, I love it. But it really showed people Batman's true nature.
Right.
And Jack Nicholson's performance as the Joker, memorable. You can't, no one could honestly say, well, you know, no. Jack Nicholson will always be the Joker, along with Cesar Romero, Heath Ledger, Mark Hamill.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then with Batman v Superman, it's the first time we actually get to see Batman and Superman fight. You know, it's the movie we'd all been waiting for. And the fact that it's the first time that Bill Finger was publicly credited as a co-creator of Batman.
That was a big deal. Very big deal.
Very big deal. You know, so that's where I'm torn on those two.
That, you know, that's completely fair. I mean, 89, I mean, technically, no, I was a baby when that movie came out. I was around shortly, but, I mean, that is, as I said on the, Batman animated series show, that's one of the pillars of modern, Batman, I think is that hype. Cause that movie like made so much money. If I remember right, it like smashed all the money that Superman made. Although Superman was, you know, maybe 10, 15 years before that. But still it made a lot of money. One of like the big modern blockbusters. And it's just, they've been printing money ever since, every few years with the Batman movie. So yeah, I mean, Michael Keaton still is up there as one of my favorite Batman. Not necessarily the movie. While the movie's phenomenal, but just, you know, Michael Keaton's portrayal. He's a very underrated actor to me.
Oh, he was awesome in Birdman. I don't know if you saw that
one. Yes. Great flick.
Right. And specifically the reason why I put those two together is because my final pick is The Dark Knight.
Okay.
Where Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker, you know, Academy Award winning, it made the Joker real.
Yeah.
And that's, you can't top that.
I will not leave any suspense to it. That is also one of my favorites. Actually is my favorite movie. The only movie to me that like really competes for my number one spot is The Godfather.
I love that
how good Dark Knight is.
Yeah. Godfather 1 and 2, 3, I'll pass on it, but I enjoy it for what it is.
I watch it every few years. Although I watch The Godfather 1 and 2 several times a year. So yeah, I mean, I consider Godfather 1 and 2 one movie. It's really one continuous story.
Yeah.
To me, The Dark Knight really, really, is part of that. And I mean, if we're going to be real, I mean, Batman Begins is such a crucial piece of that because it had like a great setup movie that just laid the groundwork so Dark Knight could just take off running. And man, they killed it. I mean, and we were just talking before the podcast, when you get geniuses like Hans Zimmer doing the music, guys like Chris and Jonathan Nolan on the script, and David Goyer. And just a phenomenal cast of people. It's really hard to not make a great movie. And
could you imagine what Batman v Superman would have been like if Christopher Nolan did it?
Man, we might have cried.
But I don't think we'd get the reference to Robin, though. I really don't, because he was adamant that he did not want Robin in the movie, and we get a very clear, you know, you've got Jason Todd's costume there in the case in Batman v Superman, and that I give all the credit to Zack Snyder for putting that in there.
Yeah, well, he might have gone that way. Because in Dark Knight Rises, we got the terrible John Blake.
That's like acknowledging Batman and Robin in the timeline. So what Christopher Nolan did is he had Barry Allen go back and reset the timeline. So then it's Batman. Batman Returns. Boom. Batman Begins.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. So, Dark Knight. I mean, there's so much great about it, and something too that I love about Nolan. I'm a big Nolan stan. So, forgive me, but his kind of classical filmmaking style, where you know he's one of the few guys who still uses film instead of digital. Excuse me, guys. And also he uses practical effects as much as possible. Everyone uses CGI. You have to. I mean, even if you got to, you know, just cut the wires for someone flying around or something, you got to use CGI. But he does it in such a way to where like it just enhances his practical effects. And you got to give it up to his crew. Like, I couldn't imagine working for him. Cause you're just like, oh damn it. Like, what are we going to do this movie? Like, I mean, Dark Knight started small with just like flipping a truck over, you know, on a real street and stuff like that. That wasn't too big. They blew up a hospital too.
That's true. I love that scene when they flip the truck, because when the truck lands, you see the gas, that's remaining from the cannon that caused the truck to go poof.
Yeah. They did edit out the piston though, because it was like a giant, like basically piston that hit the ground to make it flip up. So in the behind the scenes, you see it. So they did CGI that part out, but yeah, it's a trip to see, and they blew up a whole building in one take. All this is one take stuff. I mean, can you imagine the stress of the crew, the cameraman, everything? Like, man, you better get this shot because we get one take. Even Heath Ledger, like, they follow him out the building. That's all one shot. They don't get a second chance at that. When you go all in, you get great results.
That's true. Yeah, the hospital scene was pretty memorable.
Anyways, anything else you want to say on Dark Knight?
You know, I loved how they did Two-Face. The visual effects and how they made Two-Face look, again, made it look real. If we were to have Two-Face, that's what he would look like.
Yeah. Yeah. It very, very much did look real. Yeah, he wouldn't have like pink, you know, pink skin with a perfectly cut in half suit. Yeah, definitely is more realistic.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, in this movie too, it was very much a thriller. You very much got the sense of the terror that the Joker struck throughout the city. If you ever seen Law Abiding Citizen, there's a scene in there that reminds me of it, because like he's jacking everybody up so much that they lock the city down. And I'm like, that's some Joker stuff right there, where like you have the whole city on alert like that. Or even like the Boston, the real life Boston marathon bombers.
Yeah.
Boston was shut down until they found those guys. But, you know, the Joker would not be found without the bat.
And that's why I said Heath Ledger's performance made the Joker real.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though, now I'm not sure, I've never actually verified these facts. So take it with a grain of salt, but I remember hearing that, before he died, that what he did to get into his role as the Joker, was for a couple of weeks he locked himself like in an apartment by himself, and made himself stay awake for as long as possible, like only getting a couple hours of sleep here and there, and would kind of keep like a journal, and he'd like do a bunch of Joker reading, and he would keep a journal as the Joker and like just trying to get into the thinking of the Joker. So, I mean, he really, really went into the character. Yeah. Now, some of that may be exaggerated, but he definitely is a method actor either way.
There was a show that I saw on Netflix. It was like They Died Too Young or something like that. And there's an episode about Heath Ledger. And Heath's father is showing this journal of what kind of what Heath was going through in preparation for the role. And you look through it, and it looks very Joker-ish.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, it was a crazy episode. And Heath was the one that actually came up with the idea for the makeup. He did his makeup for the role.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because as a Batman stan, I am a little upset that they didn't go like, you know, acid dyed skin, but I mean, like, they do it in such a way that you're like, all right, you know, I can forgive this. This is fine. Yeah. This is doable.
But you look at the beginning of Dark Knight when, you know, the thugs for the bank robbery are like, well, you know, why do they call him the Joker? Well, I heard he wears makeup, you know, kind of like war paint. Like, they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so not only is it like screwing with the minds of the people doing the job for him or with him, but at the same time, people, you know, once the Joker makes his move and makes himself more visible, you know, even Gordon, you know, what's he hiding under that makeup?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's nothing. Like, it's not a secret identity, because when they took the make, you know, when they got a hold of him, there was nothing to find.
Yeah.
So yeah. The mystique was very much alive.
Yeah.
Well, here, let me dive into the rest of my list then, besides The Dark Knight. In no particular order, I'm going to go with X-Men First Class as one of my favorite comic book movies, which I don't want to say it's the best X-Men movie, because I don't think it is, but it is, to me, one of the first movies, besides Nolan's movies, that really like got emotional, and like it was, if it had no, you know, bearing on comic books, like, that's a good movie still. What's the word? There's a scene in there. There's a few scenes in there where you're actually like really feeling for characters like Magneto, who, you know, they just have a terrible, terrible life, which we saw a glimpse of in the first X-Men. But, you know, we really dive into it on how, you know, he got tortured by the Nazis and his parents died and all that, and how they died and why he's so angry. But in just like that one moment, when he's trying to move the satellite, and, you know, Charles helps him to, you know, feel the happiness, from an old memory, and to find the, you know, the place between hate and peace, and to really touch into his deep emotions. Like, scenes like that, man, they're like really good. You know, just outside of comics, it's just great writing. It's great cinema. So yeah, X-Men First Class is definitely up there for me. And it's also one of the few movies where Magneto's not a villain. So, you know, that's a plus. It explored a little bit more. I felt like that was one of the flaws of the X-Men movies, and sometimes the comics too. Is that there's just too much Magneto sometimes. It's like, come on. All right, we see him all the time. We get it. But, like, let's see what else there is to offer. But, yeah.
But Magneto, I would say, is your flagship villain. Each franchise has that one villain. So, you know, for X-Men, it would be Magneto. For Batman, it would be Joker. For The Flash, it would be Reverse Flash. For Superman, Lex Luthor. Captain America, Red Skull.
Yeah. But those flagship villains aren't in, well, besides Lex Luthor, aren't in every movie. And even Lex isn't a villain in every movie.
True. But even though they're not a villain in every single movie, when you hear the name. So if I were to say Lex Luthor, oh, Superman's main foe. You know, Joker, same thing. Hell, there were some other ones I had. Green Lantern, Sinestro.
Sinestro, yeah.
You know, each franchise is going to have that one flagship villain. That's honestly the best way to describe
it. No, you're definitely right. But, and if there's one or two movies, I'm with you. But X-Men has like 9 movies out, and Magneto's probably the villain of half of them. Yeah. And that's a lot. Like to me, like, and I would argue that Loki is that for the Avengers, which I think is a massive flaw. I do not like Loki that much to be the villain of that many movies. He was cool at first, but it's like, all right, we're doing Loki again. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Or they tried to transition him to be kind of a secondary character, and it didn't work.
Yeah. But he looks like he's going to be back on the team in Ragnarok. So, I mean, but I get it. People love Tom Hiddleston. I mean, I like the guy too. So, if he brings fans, I understand as a business decision to keep him on. But my creative side outweighs my business side. So, in addition to that, in addition to X-Men, I'm gonna go with Blade as one of my top favorite comic book movies. Blade 1 or Blade 2. I'm not quite sure now that I think about it. But Blade is such a good movie because I want to say it might be the movie after Batman and Robin that restarted comic book movies, because Joel Schumacher almost killed the comic book industry.
He did.
And as a friend of the show, Chuck Dixon, says, you know, he is Batman's number one villain. So, which is true. I mean, you have these massively successful movies, and then you throw two bombs and the industry dies. And if it wasn't for Blade and Blade 2, we may not have, you know, got the rest of them. We may not have gotten the Spider-Mans and the X-Mens that gave birth to, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy and the MCU and now the DCU. So, Blade's a cool flick, and they did the smart move. They went rated R, in a time when you may not have thought that should have happened, but you know, that's, and he's not even like an indie comic. That's a Marvel comic book character. Yeah. Those are some slick movies, man. Some people love Trinity. I hate it, but, in general, I mean, Blade is a fantastic character.
Trinity, that's the one that had Triple H in there.
Triple H, what's his name? The Green Lantern and Deadpool. What the heck is his name? Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, Ryan Reynolds was in that movie.
Yeah. That was actually the only Blade movie I've seen, was Trinity.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Man, the first two are pretty damn good, man. The two especially. Two is phenomenal. And Wesley Snipes killed it. So, when I was younger, I was really into like vampire stuff, back when vampires were cool and not like love stories. I think Blade is a very important movie and one of my favorite comic book movies. now my number one Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, which a lot of people disagree with, The Winter Soldier, Captain America 2. That movie,
I would agree with A1. That one. One, it's not an origin movie. It is, but it isn't.
Right. Right.
And we all know how much we all love origin movies.
I'm done with them, man. Yeah, I'm really done. That's why I like The Incredible Hulk a lot. Because the intro, like his origin was the intro credits.
Yeah.
And the movie starts like, all right, thank God. If I had to watch 45 minutes of Bruce Banner getting radiation, I'm going to kill myself. But no, yeah, you're right. It wasn't an origin movie. We're jumping in the action. The first scene is, hey, I'm Captain America and we're doing things. And did you ever play, oh, what is that game? Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
Yeah.
That intro scene is reminiscent to me of that, that feeling of like when I was always Captain, I was either Captain America or Wolverine all the time. So when you're Captain and you fling that shield and it just bounces and hits everything and comes back to you, like they really captured that feel of, yeah, of how cool Captain and his shield is. But on top of on how great Captain is, having Hydra turn on him or shield turn on him and turns out to be Hydra, which was massive twist. It really made to me Captain become Captain, where he's that beacon of hope. Because in Avengers, yeah, he took the reins, he took the leadership role, but to me, he wasn't fully Captain yet. But in Winter Soldier, he makes that speech that says, hey guys, some of you aren't Hydra. Some of you are still Shield, and you know, the decisions you make are important. And you know, if I stand alone, then I stand alone, and everyone, you know, stands up to Crossbones, you know, that little kind of square computer guy. He's like, hey, Captain's orders. I can't press the button. Like, man, like you finally get to see Captain inspiring integrity and freedom. So to me, that's what Captain's all about. That was that. When I saw that, man, I was like applauding in the theater. The only guy, I'm like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for. Yeah. So extremely happy at that movie.
That one was definitely one of the better ones as far as, you know, Marvel movies go. I personally, I'm not a big Captain America fan. You know, I appreciate the movies for what they are, but that's, if I have my choice, I'm not going to go and watch Captain America.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting.
Well, yeah, because if I have my choice, I'm going to go to Batman, let's be honest, or Deadpool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, and I get it. I get why people don't like Captain. I mean, he's not that dynamic of a character, but I think that's why I like him, is because he sticks to what he believes in. Yeah. Which is why I dislike Civil War so much. It's still top three Marvel movies, but it should be number one by far. And they really stripped away the heart of that story. But yeah. Winter Soldier, that's on my top five. Do I have five yet? I don't think so.
No, I think, let's see, because you had The Dark Knight, you had Captain America, Winter Soldier, Blade, X-Men First Class. So you got one more. Choices. Dang. I know.
I'm looking at my wall of nerd right now to see if I can get any inspiration. Because all I can think of right now, you know, I'm gonna go with your 1-2 combo of 89 or BVS. And the reason why, and most people hate BVS, so I'm going to make a, I don't think I need to make a case for why 89 is on the top five list. No,
we had a whole special on your case, and I actually was a part of that and agreed with you. It's an amazing movie.
It is. It is. And just for the fact that I got to see parademons flying around, that's top five for me. Like Batman fighting parademons, BVS, I mean, that's... That's a 5-6 for me. It's up there. It's there's a lot wrong with the movie. I understand. But if you know the comics well enough, you have no questions walking out of that movie. Yeah. I get the layman doesn't know what's going on, and that's a massive problem cinematically. But man, I got to see Batman fight how he's supposed to fight, especially in that warehouse scene. So much I can go on and on about that movie.
Yeah. But, you know, the one thing I liked about that, and it's not one that was really talked about, the Nightmare Batman outfit.
Oh, so great.
You know, having the gauntlets come up and then it goes to the trench coat. He's got the armor piece, but then it goes to like cargo pants with army boots, like, so well done.
I actually have the Nightmare Batman Funko Pop.
Nice.
Because it's such a cool outfit.
Yeah. That was one of those liberties that Zack Snyder took that I was all... I loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. And that scene was just downright amazing.
It was. It really was. And it's funny. A lot of people say, so my argument is that like in the warehouse scene, we finally get to see like fast paced Batman, but that's really just a lot of cut scenes. You know, Ben Affleck's not that quick. He's in his 40s. So, like there's no way. But in the nightmare sequence, it's like a pan around. So there's no cuts going on. But Ben Affleck is still like he's a little slow, and I'll be like, "Well, that seems he's slow." I'm like, "Yeah, it's one take." Like Ben Affleck's really, or his stuntman is really sitting there fighting all these dudes nonstop with no cuts. Like this is pretty good. This fighting is A1. And Batman's in the daylight, which we never see. Yeah. So, but in the apocalypse, definitely makes sense.
Well, and to have Darkseid's logo of Omega just burned into the middle of the city was... Oh.
Yeah. And again, that's things that like 95% of America just like, what's that? And it's fine. You're not supposed to know. That's for us. Like, I really felt like that was just spoon feeding us comic book fans. Cause I went real quick. And I probably said this before, but I went to the movies the night of, you know, the midnight showing with my friends, not my comic book friends, and they're all lost. So the ride home, I have to explain everything. My brother was working that night. The next morning, me and my brother go to the movie. Like we catch like, it's like a 10:30 AM show, like the earliest show possible. And man, it was like me and him, like we left the movie. Oh man, it was amazing. I loved it so much. And I'm like, man, I wish everyone could just experience this the way we did.
Yeah. Well, and my experience seeing that movie in particular was even more special because my wife and I went to a special screening of it that included a Q&A from Dean Cain before the movie started.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's slick.
So, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, I am literally 15 rows away from Dean Cain. I mean, Superman from my childhood is standing in the room about to watch the same movie that I'm going to see.
Jeez. That's pretty slick, man. Yeah. I'm a little jealous.
I'd be jealous too. But yeah, it was, I think you and I were both on the same page. It's an amazing movie. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah. We're the two.
Yes.
Well, here, let's make our transition now. I think we've covered favorite movies quite enough. Let's go into some of the best animated stuff after this little bumper here. So, best animated movies here. There's a lot. But the only problem is, I don't know if you know any, Josh, but I really just know DC animated movies. Like, all the Marvel movies I've seen are not that good.
Yeah. I hope that Marvel hears this, because their animated movie department really is not up to par with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They focus so much on the MCU that their animated department suffers from it. So I applaud DC for really stepping up their game, because this one goes to them, hands down.
Yeah. And you know, now that I think back on it, anything great with Marvel characters is Fox, as far as animated goes. Because, I mean, the X-Men animated series is phenomenal. Spider-Man was great. But that might have been Sony. Huh?
I get to meet the voice of Spider-Man here in a few weeks.
Nice.
I'm so excited.
Oh, wait, when is Salt Lake Con?
Yeah, Salt Lake Comic-Con is September 21st through the
23rd. Nice. Yes. I think I'm going to come next year, because I'm going to be in Seattle that weekend. But I want to come back, man. I had a lot of fun last year. That's very cool, man. A show I really like, too, that was kind of underrated is Spider-Man 2099. That was a cool... That was a cool little show. I think there was only like a season or two of it, but I liked it a lot.
I liked Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ultimate. Which one was Ultimate Spider-Man?
So Ultimate, it was based off of the comic book series where they had essentially rebooted the franchise. They put Peter Parker back as a true kid, like you're like a freshman.
Oh, okay.
Cool. And it was based off of that. They even made a video game off of it too.
Is this the recent one?
No. Let me look it up, because I do 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 do. Do. So, Ultimate Spider-Man, it started... Oh, jeez. 2012. It's when the cartoon started. But the comic run, that started in 2000.
Okay. Okay. I remember when that happened, actually. I saw a few episodes of Ultimate Spider-Man, and it was pretty good. I really hope Marvel like picks it up, because they have enough money. Like, come on, give us some good movies. Yeah. Let's stick to movies for this. So, not shows. Let's kind of alternate. Let's go one-on-one.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with The Dark Knight Returns. Going to go with the big dog first. As one of my stories goes, this is one of my first comics ever to own. My dad bought a bunch of comics from a garage sale, and The Dark Knight Returns is in there.
You lucky single bastard.
Yeah. I mean, they're all jacked up or whatever, but those, that was like my first experience with like actual comic books. Yeah, so it's, I mean, that's one of my all time favorite books. Not the best, but, you know, it has a lot of sentimental bundle value, but man, when I saw that movie, I mean, you got RoboCop as the voice of Batman. You got, Ben from, Lost as the voice of the Joker. And man, they really made that comic book come to life. That was just phenomenally done. Each piece of that movie is great. Because in the comics, I really didn't care for the Harvey Dent chapter, the first book. Yeah. Like, it was okay, but even the movie, like, they really made it stand out. Then you get the mutant leader, and man, that was, hey, you know, this is an operating table, and I'm the doctor, I'm the surgeon, whatever he says.
Yeah, and like yep.
And this is not a, you know, this is a, an adult, you know, adultish movie. You know, they don't pull any strings here. You know, you even got a, I don't know that chick's name, but the chick with the Nazi titties.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, that would never be on Batman, the animated series. Like, no. You couldn't pull that off. And then you get the Joker episode, and then you get the finale with the Batman Superman fight. Like, there's nothing wrong with that movie. I've converted people. One of my best friends could never understand why I liked cartoons. He's like, there's no way cartoons are that good. And I'm like, yes, they are. Watch this one. Just watch the one. And now he like watches, like, when the DC movie come out, oh man, did you see like Batman Bad Blood? And I'm like, no, how'd you see it already? Like, it just came out a couple days ago. So, like, yeah, it's that good that it will convert people, the non-believers, into watching cartoons. But yeah, it's, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. If you have seen it, go watch it again.
Yeah, well, and the end of that movie, where Joker's sitting there, he's got the batarang lodged in his eye. If you guys haven't read the book or seen that, you just pause the show, and you'll watch this. But for him to all of a sudden just like break his own neck.
Oh, I forgot about that part.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh my God. And then Batman lights him on fire.
Man.
It was, yeah.
It's dark and unsettling.
Oh, but it was so amazing to watch.
Yeah. So, what's one of your favorite?
Well, since you're bringing out all the big stops, I have to go with Batman Under the Red Hood.
That's great.
So this one, if you guys have never seen this or have any idea, this is the story about the upcoming of the new villain Red Hood. Now, Red Hood has taken on many forms, but we know that the first notable Red Hood was actually the Joker. And, you know, this one had a lot of big names in it. Paul Greenwood was the voice of Batman. He did a phenomenal job. You had Neil Patrick Harris as Nightwing. Jensen Ackles is the voice of Red Hood.
Winchester himself.
Yeah, and the voice of Bender. John DiMaggio.
Who's John DiMaggio?
Joker.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to animated movies, and I was a little skeptical at first, because whenever I think of Joker in an animated form, I think Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
And this performance in this particular one was awesome. You know, Joker's not as high-pitched or anything like that. He's a lot more raspy.
Yeah.
you know, the first scene in the movie, we get to see where Joker kills Jason Todd. But he's torturing him, and Robin goes to say something, and Joker drops down and goes, "What was that? What was that, lamb chop? It's kind of hard to speak when you have a collapsed lung." You know? And, you know, he's standing there, and he's got this crowbar, and he's like, "All right, Pumpkin, let's clear this up." Which hurts more? A, and hits him with the crowbar, or B, and hits him again? Forehand, backhand. It is the most disturbing scene I have ever watched, but it was so damn good.
It's great.
Yeah. That movie is just balls to the wall amazing, and it's
this. And that stand up at the end, man. That stand up at the end is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's awesome. And the fact that I had the movie for a couple of years before I realized that Neil Patrick Harris was Nightwing.
I never knew just now I didn't know Neil Patrick Harris was Nightwing. That's crazy.
Now you're going to go back and watch, and you're going to hear it and go, "Oh my God."
Yeah, I'm going to be mad I never caught it. I love MPH.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my first one.
Okay. Let me jump into, you know what? I don't want to do all Batman. So, because I can easily do my top five Batman movies. Let's do, All-Star Superman. I don't know if you've seen this one.
I have. And I read the books. So
goodness. It is like Superman. To me, this is like one of the best Superman stories. And this is like I always say, Superman just needs a great writer. Or a great story. And this was it. This is Superman gets overpowered because he got too close to the sun or something like that. And now he starts getting like kind of new abilities, but basically he's about to die. He has such a short time left. You know what? I might be getting my lines crossed here. I just remember that it was such a great story because he only had so long to live, so everything he did like really mattered toward the end. Was this the one where Lex steals his powers and then realizes?
I think so. It's been a while since I've seen it. I remember the part that really stood out for me with this one was having read the books. It had a very different feel for Superman, and they really did a good job taking the inspiration from the books and translating that into the animated film.
Yeah, they definitely did. This is one of the few Superman books that I have read that's from back then, but it's just phenomenal.
Yeah. It's a different type of Superman story than what you're used to.
It is. And this is actually not the Lex Luthor story. I don't know. I got that one crossed over. I think that's an animated series episode, or a Justice League episode. But this is one of the few Superman stories that like I've owned this movie. Only Superman movie that I own, besides BVS. Even if you're not a fan, you will really enjoy this. It's just a unique take on the Man of Steel.
I like it.
Oh no, it is this one. I am tripping. Luther. Hold on. It's been a few years since I watched it. But yeah, okay. So he stole the super serum. Oh, I think he gave Lois a super serum so that way she could be super for a day or something like that. And Luthor stole it.
Yeah.
And then when he finally got to see, like, he said, "This is how you see the world? Like, I get it now. I get why you are the way you are." And like, he like admits to being wrong. There's also an episode in the Justice League that's just like it. That's why I was getting confused on which one's which. But man, yeah, it's a slick movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, so check it out.
I am so glad you picked Superman All-Star.
Why is that?
Because my next pick is Justice League, The Flashpoint Paradox.
Nice.
So, prior to seeing this, I was not the only Flash thing that I had seen was the 90s show with John Wesley Shipp.
Okay.
So I was not a big Flash fan until I saw this. For those of you who may have watched the TV show or don't know anything about the Flash, this is, I think, one of the quintessential Flash stories. I mean, that's what they're basing the solo movie off of, is Flashpoint. But just the cast alone is huge. Because we have Kevin Conroy, and we have Sam Daly as the voices of Batman and Superman, which we expected. But there's some other big names in there as well. You know, Justin Chambers is the Flash. We've got Steve Bloom, who is the voice of Lex Luthor and Captain Thunder. If you don't know who Steve Bloom is, he's the voice of Sub-Zero in all the recent games. He was also the voice of Wolverine in some of the animated movies. Cary Elwes from like The Princess Bride or Saw. He's actually the voice of Aquaman, which I didn't realize till just now. Nathan Fillion is Green Lantern.
Of course.
You know, you got Jennifer Hale as Iris West and Billy Batson, which I... And again, if you guys don't know who Jennifer Hale is, big-time voice actor. She actually holds the record for, I think, the most appearances, especially in video games.
Wow.
Yeah. Danny Hudson, he's in this one as well, which surprised me. If you guys don't know actor names, he was General Stryker in the X-Men Origin movie. And gotcha. He was also in Wonder Woman. Yeah. Like I said, big names. Ron Perlman was Deathstroke. But the concept of the movie is awesome. Flash goes back, ends up going back in time, and completely changes, you know, whenever you time travel. In this case, he ended up getting caught into an explosion, sending him to an alternate universe. But because he was helping people, aka saving his mom, it completely changed everything. And this is where we get to see Thomas Wayne as Batman. And this Batman is not phenomenal. Afraid to kill. Oh, absolutely. It was absolutely amazing. I could do a whole show on this one alone, so I'm not going to.
No, yeah. Which is why I really hope they do Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Thomas Wayne Batman.
Yeah.
If they do the Flashpoint movie.
So with that being said, because the guy that they had is Reverse Flash or Eobard Thawne, did a good job. Who would you want to see as Eobard for Flashpoint?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, that would be cool. I don't think he'd jump. I think he's stuck in a contract.
I'm sure he is, but when you said Eobard, that was the first face I saw.
Yeah. Damn. See, I look at Benedict and I still think of, I attribute him to the same actor that plays Harrison Wells.
Okay.
You know, and at the point of the season of the TV show that I'm in and seeing Reverse Flash now, oh man, I kind of just tricked myself with my own damn question. Damn it. Actually, Cary Elwes would be good too. Is he aboard Thawne?
Okay.
But he's getting up there in age, so I don't know. Well, no, that would still work.
Yeah,
He can pull off Eobard.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, you know, I really like that movie because it turns the DC universe on its head. I mean, Wonder Woman's a villain. Aquaman's a villain. And they're villains of each other. So they're not teaming up. Their war is, like, destroying the world because they had a lover spat back in the day. Yeah. Like, it's phenomenal.
Lex Luthor is good. Superman is not so super.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Superman got captured the moment he landed on Earth by the government. Yeah. Yeah, I mean there's just so much great twist they take. It's a very very good movie. So along those lines of different, I'm going to go with Gods and Monsters Justice League. Which is the movie where basically it's the Trinity, but things are a little different. Mostly being that Batman is not Bruce Wayne. Batman is Langstrom, who, you know, we know as Man-Bat, but he's like a vampire Batman. Who bites his villains. So, I mean, it is a crazy twist on things. I actually wanted to see like more of this story. It just didn't work out, like that. And Superman is not the son of, Jor-El. He's the son of Zod. The last son of Krypton is the son of Zod. So we get that take, you know, an authoritarian type Superman who gets business done. And if I remember right, wasn't Wonder Woman a Fury?
You know, I never actually saw that one.
You haven't? Okay.
No.
I forget. Wonder Woman had a twist on her too. I want to say that she was a Darkseid Fury or something like that. Or some type of apocalyptian. But yeah, it's just a complete twist on things. It's not the same Trinity that we know, but it's the same Trinity that we know at the same time. And they like kill people, you know, they are brutal. Yeah. If you watch it the first scene, you're like, oh, okay, this is Justice League. Oh, they're dead. All right. I want to say Harley Quinn was like their first victim too, in the storyline. But anyways, yeah, it's they cover their origins, they cover the story all in one, and it's just again, it's another unique take. So I'm gonna go with that as one of my favorites as well.
Nice. The other one, because I'm looking at the list of all the movies, and now again I'm torn, and this is only my third movie. I have to go Batman: Mask of the Phantasm.
Okay, I was saving that one. Very good.
You know, based off of the animated series, it's actually I think the first time we get the Joker's origin in this universe.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a very fun take.
It was. It definitely was.
Definitely had some twists and turns that I did not expect.
And this is a theatrical movie. I mean, it didn't make any money, but I mean, this movie was, and it wasn't like a Fathom event where it was like a one day, hey, we're in theaters. No, this was a theatrical release. In theaters all over for, you know, a fair amount of time. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot that went into this movie.
The cool thing about this one, cause this one's actually come up in the news lately, they're releasing this particular one finally on Blu-ray.
Wow. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
When does that come out?
You know, I don't.
I mean, is soon or like months from now?
I thought soon.
Okay.
Let me get a date for you. Yeah, and it's a high definition remaster.
Nice.
Yeah. This is just a. Is it already out? Oh, it might.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, it's for sale on Best Buy. So, yeah, it must have just come out.
Yeah. So yeah. That one, if you love Batman the Animated Series, this is a must have.
And the villain is, I won't give it away. It's an old movie, so I don't think a lot of, I mean, unless you were around back then.
The Phantasm.
Yeah, the Phantasm is kind of an interesting character and not quite what you expect. So I won't ruin that. I'm also going to go with Justice League Doom.
Yes.
This book is taken from the Tower of Babel storyline in the comics. And basically the premise is Batman has plans on everybody, on all the Justice League to take them out if need be. Someone steals those plans and tweaks them to try to kill them. Yeah, I mean, it starts something as simple as like a suicidal guy who's going to jump off a building and has a gun pointed to his head, which is like super redundant. Like he really wanted to kill himself. But what Superman does, and so Superman comes to save him, of course. Superman doesn't dodge bullets. So when the guy points a gun at him, he doesn't move, but it's a kryptonite bullet. So it's like a lot of things like that, that, you know, all the Justice League gets taken out by. I don't know if they had a name, but you know, an Injustice Society type assembly.
It was the Legion of Doom.
Legion of Doom. That's right. It was a Legion of Doom. Which to me, those are my favorite stories. Like one villain, unless it's like a dark side, or he's one of the few, really the, one of the few villains. Or if it's like a super like invasion, I don't like I'm a little disappointed by a lot of Justice League villains. Cause I'm like, all right, this guy's not interesting enough. But when you throw, hey, here's all your villains thrown at you. Like, that's a cool story. I would love to see that in the movies. You know, just a, like a Civil War, but villains against heroes. Like that would be slick. Even if it's like 5-on-5, I'm cool with that. That'd be phenomenal. Yeah, that's, I think it's 4. I think that's 4.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we got two. Yeah. So my next one, and you actually provided probably the best segue to it, was Justice League Crisis on Two Earths.
Never seen that movie.
Really?
I own it, but I've never seen it.
Okay. So, you know, you having watched The Flash, you understand the concept of Infinite Earths.
Right.
What happens is Lex Luthor comes to, we'll call it Earth One, to enlist the help of the Justice League to help him on his Earth because the superheroes have they're trying to take over the Earth.
Okay.
And they've created their own evil Justice League and they call it the Syndicate. And so you have each superhero's doppelganger. So Superman's evil doppelganger is Ultraman, Batman's is Owlman, Wonder Woman's was Power Woman or Superwoman, something like that. Very Amazon-ish, but bad. I think Johnny Quick is in this one, as the Flash's opposite. Yeah, it was just very well done. They got James Wood as the voice of Owlman. So, nice. You know, very cold and heartless and calculating and everything. And the big thing with this is Owlman has figured out how to destroy every Earth in this infinite universe of Earths. And it's by finding Earth Prime.
I've seen this clip on YouTube, actually. I saw the ending.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, so you need to watch the movie. It is, when talking about having just like good guys versus bad guys, this is just that.
Huh, okay. That's, I gotta watch this. There's very few DC animators I haven't seen, and this is one of them. So...
yeah, this one was so much fun, but I also enjoyed Owlman from Watchmen, and so to see him as a bad guy in this sense made this one a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to check that one out. So for my last movie here, I'm gonna go with a Marvel movie. This is the one Marvel movie that I really, really liked. And it is called Hulk Versus. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but it is Hulk. What was I going to say? It is the Hulk. It's really two stories. There's a Hulk versus Wolverine, and there's a Hulk versus Thor.
Oh, I've seen the Hulk versus Wolverine.
Okay.
Portion of
and,
it.
And man, it is pretty cool. Fred, you probably know how to say his name. Tataskiori is Hulk. I want to say, is he one of the guys on what is that thing they do at Salt Lake where they all just joke around?
Twisted Tunes.
Is he on Twisted Tunes?
I think so. Let me.
I remember seeing him when I was in Salt Lake. So maybe I'm just connecting two things that don't go together.
If I remember right, this is the one where Steve Bloom was the voice of Wolverine.
Steve Bloom was Wolverine. Yeah. So, yeah. Great. It's a great movie. I really wanted to list one Marvel movie, and that's the only one that I can list. So, it's phenomenal. It's not groundbreaking in like, you know, oh, it changed the genre, but it was a really fun, you know, fight because we know Wolverine and Hulk go way back, to their origins or to Wolverine's first appearance, I believe is against Hulk. So, I mean, their fights go back, and it's nice to see just that brawl. It's like a 30-minute brawl, you know, for both of them. So it's really nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my last one, man. So go ahead and wrap it up with your finale.
Okay. So the final one, again, me being torn, it's between Son of Batman and Justice League, The New Frontier.
Okay. I have not seen New Frontier.
So the thing I like about New Frontier is it takes the style, the comic style of what these superheroes looked like back in the 40s.
Oh, nice.
It takes a lot of the visual aspect. You know, Batman, for example, is like the 1937 style, where he actually has the purple gloves.
Oh, wow.
And even the technology that's used is from that time period. And it focuses on the initial formation of the Justice League. But it focuses on two characters that don't get a whole lot of attention that they normally would. This is where we see Hal Jordan becoming a Green Lantern. We also get Martian Manhunter's origin and a lot more of his backstory as well.
Nice. Okay.
Love
Martian Manhunter.
Yeah. So this is one I think you would enjoy, aside from the fact that it does take that 40s approach, so much that they even incorporate, like, You see the Batcave, and it is very, very old style technology. But for that time, it was still high tech.
Sure, sure. That sounds really interesting. I never knew what that movie was about. That's why I never clicked on it.
Yeah.
But that sounds cool.
Yeah, it was. It is a little slow. And Batman, I don't even consider him to be kind of a main. I wouldn't give him a main character role. He's more of a secondary role, kind of like how he was in Suicide Squad.
I kind of like that, actually. Yeah. Like, I think Batman should be in every movie, but not the driving force behind every movie.
Yeah, and he's definitely not the driving force in this.
So that's cool.
It definitely focuses more on Green Lantern and Martian Manhunter.
Okay. I'm going to have to check that out, man.
Yeah. It's awesome. And then, obviously, Son of Batman, that's where the story where we get Damian Wayne, who really has become probably one of my most favorite Robins out of the family of Robins.
You know, he's up there. It's like, for me, it's between him and Dick. So,
Dick Grayson will always take the number one spot.
Yeah. Always. Yeah. It's really hard for him to, you know, to lose that.
Yeah. I would put
Damian is tight.
Yeah. I would put Dick Grayson as number one. And then Damian at two, Jason Todd as Red Hood. And then Tim Drake.
Okay.
We don't count Carrie Kelly. We don't count her.
I count her. I love Carrie Kelly. She's one of my favorite Robins, man. You know, we talked Dark Knight Returns. I didn't even mention Carrie Kelly. Now I'm upset. But I love Carrie Kelly. I would love to see her in a movie. But yeah, well, there's our favorite superhero or comic related TV show, or not TV shows, animated movies and live action movies. So we just wanted to give y'all something fun to listen over. So I will be back soon with a real voice. So yeah, thanks so much for talking with me, Josh. It was fun.
Yeah, so much fun. And we if we didn't narrow it down to five movies, we could have gone another hour.
Oh, sure. We could have just like gone through the list. All right, what do you think about this movie? Oh, it was, you know. So, I mean, but that'd take forever. Five.
Although, I do have to ask you, what did you think of Batman Year One?
Batman Year One is phenomenal as well. I mean, it's a Frank Miller story. I mean, it's like, you know, the original Batman Begins. But no, I do love Year One. Actually, Johnny and Mike probably would be upset if I didn't mention Year One on here. So that's good. Good you bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah. We saved us from ridicule on the definitive.
Exactly. Which, you know, we're very ruthless with each other. So
we have to be.
Keep us all sharp. But, all right. Well, check us out. We'll be just to let you know, we'll be starting back up regularly monthly with a show of kind of the highlights of all the TV shows every month. Because starting, you know, in a couple of weeks, we'll be having too many to count. So we won't do like we did in the past, a full on analysis of every episode, just because it's monotonous. It's boring for me. And I mean, I wouldn't listen to it. So we'll just kind of hit the highlights, you know, what's going on the best of. And we'll always hit these specials with new movies and, you know, the Netflix binge watches, things like that. So. That's going to be the new format, monthly with probably at least one other special a month. Anything else you want to plug in, Josh?
You know, just make sure to check us out at undercovercapes.com and at geekerymagazine.com. I know, Freddie, you've started, adding some stuff on there. If you guys like Game of Thrones, Freddie just posted an article on geekerymagazine.com about Game of Thrones. So make sure to go check that out. And yeah.
That's right. Also, some of the sloppy spoilers tabs. That way we're all, everything's the same, same name. So nothing to get lost. good plug. But yeah, check us out next time. And of course, undercovercapes.com with all of our other shows. Thanks. And we'll catch you next time.